Hi, what's up? We're back. It's Dixon.
Finally.
And Fancy J.
Yeah, it's the B Show, a wrestling podcast. We've been away for a couple of weeks because, well, life, being adults and all that stuff. It's difficult sometimes to squeeze this in. Just a note right off the bat. We're not going to dive into the fantasy booking thing this week because time is short for both of us. But we will do a full podcast without any of the features next week that simply focuses on the fantasy thing that we started about a month and a half ago for next week, just so you're aware. Cool?
Cool.
All right. Let's dive head first in.
Well, this is going to be predominantly a wrestling podcast. Conversation just because we've got so much to talk about, but I do want to start off with, you know, our opening segment and different stories I find interesting and think it would be fun to talk about. But first, let's start off with saying happy birthday to you on what was it, last week,
the third? Monday,
July 3rd. You celebrated your birthday. Happy birthday, homie.
Thanks, dude. Me and Tom Cruise, both born in Syracuse, both born in the same hospital, same day, different years.
I was gonna say,
same day.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Yeah. I mean, I knew he was born here, but I don't know the same hospital.
Yeah.
Look at that, man.
Might have been in the same doctor.
And both of you guys are super successful.
Well, not so much.
Well, I mean, come on.
I still drive an 04 Grand Am, sir.
That's my choice. You could drive
drive an 06 Grand Am.
Yeah,
I could go
to 07, 08 maybe. You do anything fun?
I worked. I had my air shift, and then I went home, and the wife and I dove through a couple bags of clams. And that is not a sexual reference. That was legitimately, it's summertime, steam clams, corn on the cob. That has a tendency to be dinner at least once or twice a week for us. But no, I don't really celebrate birthdays. I don't like being the center of attention. I don't like the whole fanfare of it. It's annoying.
Yeah. But you might not like to celebrate, but other people do.
And I'll indulge them to a certain degree. Like, I don't want a cake. If you sing to me, I'm probably going to spit at you.
That's not true. If your wife sang at you, you would not spit at her.
She knows better, though. Dude, tell me that's not the most awkward situation.
Oh, it
sucks. You know what I mean? Like, you're standing there with
Especially when you go out to eat.
Yeah.
And then the whole staff comes over and they do some one of those, happy birthday. And you're like, come on, man.
Oh, look, they're bringing out the saddle.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just some big ass ice cream brownie dessert or whatever that you can't even eat.
And I don't even like that stuff, so it works out well.
Here.
You know, it's actually pretty funny. My wife doesn't listen to this, so I can say this and not sound like a complete and total dick. Like, she completely and totally insisted on getting ice cream cake for my birthday, knowing that I don't eat ice cream or cake. So, like, I was
all right,
cool. Like, you know, like, she's like, well, what would you like? And I was like, honestly, truthfully, if you're going to get an ice cream cake and I know you're going to make me eat a piece of it, you got to go to Carvel.
Carvel, by far.
Because there's nothing on this planet like Carvel.
No, those little chocolate crunchies in the middle. Oh,
you know that they make an ice cream called Marble Crunch that is half vanilla, half chocolate, and they just dump pounds and pounds of that cookie crunch in it. And you can get it by the scoop. Yeah, it's so good.
Dude, I'm going to have to go there.
Yeah. Route 11 or there's one by your house.
Yeah. Awesome, man. So did she get it?
She did.
Did you have a piece?
I had like a 2-inch by 2-inch square of the middle where the crunchy stuff was. Paid for it later, of course, because I have a severe lactose intolerance.
It's even good tonight. Why don't you take like a Lactaid?
It doesn't work.
Doesn't work. Yeah. Doesn't work for me that well either.
But it was damn good.
That's awesome. So one last birthday shout out to one of our top listeners who's actually become a good buddy of mine, Tank. Today is his birthday. We're doing this on Saturday. What's today's date? The 9th? Yep, the 9th. Saturday the 9th.
So bad with dates, dude.
So happy birthday to him, man. He's helping us actually come up with a new logo. He's a graphic designer, so he's going to throw some ideas towards us on that. And then,
Yo Tank, happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, big man. So do you do any fun stuff for the 4th?
You know, my wife had to work, so I had like a quiet, peaceful day at the house by myself.
Can do whatever you want.
And the weather was really nice. So I may have scorched the tall earth a little bit and then just kind of wandered around our 14-acre property.
You just walked around high?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was, I needed it.
Kind of go out there quiet and get away from it all?
Well, you got to go out and make sure that, like, like the fallen trees and all that stuff. Because we live on a creek and a river.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been super lazy this year because it's been so rainy, and I just don't feel like trekking through the muck.
Yeah,
and dealing with all that
by you, hasn't it?
Yeah, but like we have a beaver problem, which again, not sexual. We legitimately have a family of beavers that have been eating at some of the rotted trees on the back end of the property, towards where the creek is a little thinner and. Not quite as active.
Right?
No, because like, they will fall the trees, and then the tree blocks the creek, and then the water backs up, and you got to call dudes that A, come out and get the beavers, yeah. And then you got to call like the tree people to come out, and it's expensive.
Yeah.
So I went back and made sure that, you know, nobody just trying to build a dam and, you know, all this stuff. But it was cool, man. It was a nice day. It was warm, but like when you get back into our property, it's so shaded that like the sun's not on you. It was like in the low 80s.
F that, man. All those ticks that are out there.
Oh, dude, I got
like the tick spray and stuff.
Well, I wear my like knee high boots.
Oh, okay, yeah, smart.
Jeans, stuff like that.
It's bad.
Yeah, well, where we are,
in Central New York,
it's extra bad because like it is tick mm-hmm. central when it's marshy and wet. And, yeah. So
now because the winter was so passive in a way as far as temperature wise that they were able to live throughout the winter. So it's like my mom's a nurse practitioner. She's just like, yeah, pretty much wherever I go, I have to have one of those tick remover tools because there's.
I had one on me earlier this year. I got it out with a hot sewing needle.
Really?
Yeah.
You just poked it out?
Yeah.
I had one on me one time and I was like, what the hell? I'm itching like above my knee. This was like a couple years ago. I'm like, what the hell is it? And I felt something. You know when you itch a mole and if it sticks, it's like pops off your skin. And I'm like, I don't have a mole here. What is it? And I looked, and it was its head was in, and its body was in the skin, and its body was out.
Face down, ass up.
Face down, ass up. You know it. And luckily I was able to get the whole thing out, and the head didn't break off in it. But that shit freaked me out. I know so many people now who have Lyme disease and stuff because of it.
Yeah, I man, ever since
fuck
all my health bullshit, like I just don't, my pain tolerance is through the roof.
Yeah.
So like my wife was sitting there, she's like, I don't know how you're doing this. I'm like, honestly, like I'm the dude that sleeps through tattoos. Like pain doesn't hurt anymore.
So you like, always had pain tolerance.
I did, but it is through the
roof
now.
It's like, now.
Like the night I broke my toes, I didn't know they were broken until I got up the next day until they were all swollen up and shit.
Oh, Jesus. So I had a pretty good fourth. I was on the water, which is like, that's kind of like my peaceful tranquility where
naked
I can
in
just
the bathtub.
Oh, dude, man, like being out by whether it's the ocean or a lake, it just clears the mind. Sit out there, get some sun, just relax. So you know, I've been back in the gym for a while, trying to get back in shape after my health issues last year, and so I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm visiting my mom and. Laying down, and I'm feeling good, and I mean, not to the place where I want to be. My mom looks at me, and she goes, she's like, she's like, looking kind of fat. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, she's like, got to watch that midsection and the sides. And I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, you go to the gym? I'm like, yeah, like 5 days a week. She's like, oh, well, you know, you just got to watch that. She's like, and meanwhile, my mom, who doesn't listen to this, and I love, is like, a bigger woman.
Morbidly obese?
No, not obese, but definitely not somebody who should be watching the weight.
Chunky but funky?
Chunky? Yeah, she's definitely funky.
Would I want to bang your mom?
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. What's my mom? I don't know. Maybe you would.
In her younger days?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's build a time machine.
Yeah, there you go. So I was just like, what the hell? Who spends celebrating America's birthday and then gets called fat by your mom? And I don't have a gut. I don't have like one of those beer bellies or a belly that sticks out over your waist, but you have like really skinny legs or big shoulders. Like I'm
Chuck.
All flat. Well, that's a whole other level right there. But I'm flat. So, dude, that took the wind out of my sails. I was like, man, now people wonder why I have mommy issues or body issues because of that.
I will be honest. There are days your face looks a little puffy.
Well, that's different. I can't control that. That's crying at night. And
yeah.
It just, you know, it just puffs up the next day at work or when you see me on Skype.
If we're being completely and totally honest, I don't think you drink enough water.
That's all I drink.
No, like water, not.
No. That's all I drink is water. I cut back on that carbonated shit.
Even the sparkling, because it has that sodium.
Well, it has the sodium, and it has the and it makes you super bloated in the midsection. I was reading articles on it. Like, if you ever feel bloated, here's the reason why. And it was like carbonated drinks. It's like, yep, I would pound like two or three of those a day just to give a different taste. But all I drink is I have one cup of coffee in the morning, and I only drink water.
Can you do the fake sugar or no?
Yeah.
Dude, the Mio ain't bad.
But isn't that all that fake sugar stuff have like cancer stuff in it?
No. There's
like
a couple.
Trivio and all that?
No. These are like little squeeze bottles that you just put like two squirts in a glass of water, and it makes it taste orange or grape or.
Oh, all right.
They're
you have
good.
To show me those, man.
They're
I've
good and they're
that.
Not bad. You get, they're like, I don't know, you can make like, for me, like 8 glasses of water with them, and it's like $3.29.
Dude, that's good. Yeah. Just a little bit something different.
Yeah, just to switch it up. I mean, that's why I drink like tea in between my waters.
Yep.
It just gives you, it gives your palate a break.
Yeah. So screw you, Mom. Love you, Mom. So I wanted to talk about this a couple weeks ago, but forgot about it. And this whole Bill Cosby trial, but not about the hung jury and all of that. Did you see what he did when he was leaving court after it was announced hung jury and he was like good to be let go?
When he was eating a Jell-O pudding pop, right?
No, close. He walks out, and it's at night, hung jury. He's good to go. He's with his lawyers, and there's a bunch of reporters in the tank. You didn't see this video? No. He looks at the camera, and he kind of rolls his eyes back and goes, hey, 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 and just keeps on walking. I'm like, you just threw out a fat Albert line after you just got not even acquitted. You weren't even found innocent. It was a hung jury.
Good old Bill Cosby.
Dude, that's crazy. So I got to me thinking, what TV catchphrases would be the best if you were like that arrogant ass and you're on trial for rape and you get off?
Oh, the Fonzie for sure.
Fonzie. Okay, so here's some that I came up with. Nanu Nanu. That's like the hey, hey, Mork and Mindy. Giggity Giggity from Family Guy. Giggity Giggity. It's such a sexual reference.
Yeah,
too.
But Bill Cosby saying Giggity Giggity would come off
no.
Creepy.
Oh, yeah, totally. And not so much Bill Cosby, just anybody. Like, say, Henry Winkler was on trial, and he comes out and he goes,
Ey.
Yeah.
Dude, I do that to people here all the time, where I'll just walk by and do the two thumbs up and go, Ey.
What do they do?
They look at me really weird. And
you have a lot of young people that work with you, right?
So occasionally, Luke will do it back for me. He's the only one.
He's like an old soul. Yeah. Family Matters, if Steve Urkel was on it, didn't I do that? As he's walking, that would be hilarious. What you talking about, Willis? Different Strokes.
You're just showing your age here, kid.
I know. Well, these are like catchphrases. Happy Days. That's What She Said. The Office, Michael Scott. That would be a good
one.
What
about Joey from Friends?
That was the next one.
How you doing?
Very next one. How you doing? And Homer Simpson. Dope! As he walks away. Yeah. Those would be hilarious catchphrases. I cannot believe that man did that.
Hey, man, he got acquitted.
No, he didn't. It was
you know what I mean. He got to walk away. He got to walk away.
Why are you doing Fat Albert? Hey, hey, hey.
Because there's a Fat Albert something coming through Rhino. The company that releases all the old greatest hits albums and whatnot, there's a Fat Albert DVD set coming. It was most definitely like.
So you think that he was trying to do cross 100%, promotion 100%, to put that out there?
100%. You know how much this trial cost him?
But who's? They're not going to have him promote it. Nobody's going to buy that. Nobody's going to buy it.
You'd be shocked.
Like, so many stations have canceled the Cosby Show altogether. I saw only one station runs Cosby reruns, which, by the way, is a great show.
Lisa Bonet. Oh, my
gosh,
God.
She was so gorgeous.
You ever see Angel Heart?
Yeah. Mickey Rourke? Come on now, man. That was when she was still on the Cosby Show, too.
Oh, no. They removed her for an entire season.
But she was still on, and then that's when they gave her a different world.
Yeah.
I wonder if he ever drugged her. She just doesn't want to come on stage.
Oh, I'd drug her.
Jesus, you don't have to. Maybe she's beautiful. And she would just let you do it.
Probably. Yeah, well, at this point, she's probably all old and wrinkly anyway.
No. If you haven't seen her now?
No.
She's married to Lenny Kravitz, man. She's freaking gorgeous still.
Really?
Like, body and face.
I'd watch those two fuck.
Yeah, he's a good-looking dude. Hey, I ain't gonna lie. He's a good-looking dude.
He got a big dick.
Remember that picture that hung out? Yeah. I never saw the actual
Yo, attention, Lisa Bonet and Lenny Kravitz.
Make a
please let a sex tape leak.
That would be, that would be, dude. She
and
is,
not in a gay way, but like Lenny Kravitz looks like he handles his shit.
Oh yeah, he looks like, like if you watch regular porn, because
that's,
I don't
a,
want
that's a dude in his
guy.
Early 50s that is fit as fuck.
Yeah, and he's just like cool too, man. Like he just seems like he would do some cool movie that you
I
would
met
never
him
see
in
before.
Like 1994, 93. Three, somewhere
right before
in there.
His hit record came out, right as that.
Right as. He was touring with Neil Young
go
on
my way,
this Skull Bandits tour, which was really weird. And it was co-headlined by Lenny Kravitz and Neil Young. And I was working for the promoter and got to meet him like backstage. And he was just a regular dude. Like he was at the fucking peak of his popularity.
And that video,
like, Are
was
You
like
Gonna Go My Way,
greats.
Was like number one on the alt charts, number one on the rock charts. And this dude was just like, hey, what's up, man? Oh, you're the catering guy? I'm good, man. I got everything. You want to hang out for a little bit?
I heard he's super chill.
Yeah. Because, like, they rented, like, air-conditioned trailers for all the top names on the festival. And he was like, yo, just feel free, man. Hang out. There's, like, a couch over there. I know it's hot outside.
That's awesome.
Like, I'm just going to sit over here, and I'm going to play guitar and, you know, help yourself to whatever you need. And I was like, thank you, Lenny Kravitz. You're a nice guy. Like, that your was mom like, was on the Jeffersons, right?
That was like 24 years ago, 23.
A long time ago. All right, man.
And he still looks almost exactly the same. Like, if you put pictures next to him, you don't see
well,
that
he don't
much.
Have,
of
he
age.
Don't have the dreadlocks no more.
No.
He got,
but like
that cute little afro.
Yeah, but he's got such awesome style. But, dude, she looks phenomenal. Like, you definitely just Google some pictures of her tonight, and you'll be like, damn, okay, she got it going on, whatever. And Lenny's daughter, Zoe Kravitz. She's pretty fine too, man.
Yeah.
She's pretty hot.
One of my favorite Lisa Bonet roles was in High Fidelity.
Oh, she's great in that. Those are, what, two scenes? She wasn't in that much. It's like one of the girls that goes 20, back.
25 minutes of the movie.
Oh, that's right. It was
she did the performance, because I love her voice, man.
Yeah,
I,
she's a really good singer.
You know, and even the fact that she did a Peter Frampton song didn't offend me, because I fucking hate Peter Frampton.
Why do you hate Frampton?
It's just cliche white people music. Dude,
that
like, white
big,
people
big.
Almost ruined music in the 1970s. You know that, right? If it wasn't for, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Commodores and, like, war, white people might have just put music as a whole in the ground.
Yeah. That's the reason why there was such, like, that alt-punk scene, because they were wanted to kill the Bee Gees and all those people that ruined.
See, I don't have any animosity towards
James
the Bee Gees.
James Taylor and all those boring.
See, James Taylor.
I can't.
And
like
all
that
those
dude.
Like fucking white
Barbara
dudes
Streisand.
With acoustic guitars.
Oh, yeah. They
just made like this mediocre, touchy feely, post hippie, like boring white people music.
I
That's
think '70s was the worst decade of music in my.
Not
opinion.
If you're talking about soul and funk, though.
No,
man,
overall.
Stax Records had some great shit
Stax.
Going on.
I almost did a movie on Stax. We had the actual owner of Stax. I have a script on it. The guys
you know
came
they did
out.
A movie on them, right?
Yeah, that was we passed on it, and then they ended up doing it after
you
us.
Dumb.
No, it
that,
was just
that movie did real well, dude.
No, it didn't. The Stax movie didn't do crap.
It won some awards.
What awards? BET awards? Because I don't know any awards that the Stax movie was up
it
for.
It definitely won something at Cannes.
At Cannes? What Cannes? Oh, Cannes Film Festival?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yes, it did. It won like some sort of music
like
movie award.
Music award? Yeah. No, it was. It's a great story how it started.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure of sitting down. You want to know who else is super smooth and cool like Lenny Kravitz and still looks pimp as all? Smokey Robinson, man.
Smokey's the shit.
Dude, that guy, he came in and he sat down with us for like 4 hours going over through a script, and he was on that Stax. He was a producer.
He always looks like he's on the verge of tears.
He does. His eyes glisten. They sparkle, like a natural sparkle. Not like somebody who puts in a weird con. His eyes are like crystal blue.
And he's one of those dudes that even at his age, like the sets are way shorter now, but he delivers.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not out there doing 2 hours. He'll give you 35, 40 minutes. But,
yep, another guy who crushes it live that looks good for his Lionel Richie. I saw him a couple years ago.
He's got a little too much Botox lately.
Yeah, you can tell in the forehead and stuff. But
and
I mean,
around
he
his
still
cheeks
can,
and stuff too. Yeah,
but he can still handle it. He can still. I thought he was
man.
Good,
I saw
man.
Him on some TV show within the last few months, and it was pretty bad.
Oh, was it? I saw him 2 years ago at SPAC. It was awesome.
Yeah, he's deteriorated vocally pretty bad the last
really?
Couple of years.
Oh,
yeah. Well, dude, he's approaching 70.
He's over 70. He was
Is
70.
He?
Yeah, he was 70 2 years ago. I think he was like 71 when we saw him.
Yeah.
They were talking about. I mean,
it just gets to a point as a singer where you can't maintain, and there's nothing you can do to maintain. It's especially just going to naturally happen. Songs. Yeah. Well, because he's got that higher register, and those are the first vocal cords that start to go away.
Yeah, and you don't have like a bunch of instruments to in the background to kind of carry you. It's a, it's a lot of piano or
you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire is playing the fair, right?
No, they are.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm going to lose my mind. I have to come back in town for that.
Second Sunday. The second Sunday of the fair.
I have to come back into town for that. That would be amazing.
Dude, I'm going to be like the only like youngish white dude.
No.
In the very front, because I will push people out of the way.
There'll be tons of people there.
Yeah, but they'll hang towards the back.
I don't know where, like, I don't know how the fair is set up.
I'm shoving my way to the front. I don't care.
They're awesome.
Yeah. One of my favorite bands of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Did you get a chance to see or do anything or see the results of that Manny Pacquiao Jeff Horn boxing fight?
Yeah, I don't care about boxing. We've talked about this, man.
So
it's boring.
I didn't really, I'll watch the big fights. So this was a big fight that took place on ESPN, completely free, and it was Manny Pacquiao versus Jeff Horn, and it was in Australia in front of like 60,000 people.
Also mentioned, Horn's from Australia.
Yeah, exactly. Horn, home crowd. And he's only had like 11 fights. I think he's 11-0-1, so maybe 12, 13 fights. But anyway, so our friend, Dixon and I's friend, Margot, is a chronic gambler. So I was like, are you betting on this boxing match? And she said, who is it? So I sent her an article, and I'm like, take Horn. And I said, he's plus 450. I go, plus I have a weird feeling he's going to win. So I had a friend that was visiting. Shout out to Crystal. I had a friend that was visiting from Panama. And I had to drop her. I had to drop her off, and I had to Periscope the fight, so I couldn't watch it. And dude, you would have thought that I put all that money on the fight, man. I was so into this fight, and it was actually pretty good. Went the distance. It was a lot of action between. It wasn't like the Pacquiao Mayweather fight where they just didn't throw any punches and danced around one another. But dude, I thought for sure Pacquiao won. I thought it was close, but I was just like, there's no way Horn's going to win. I was a little upset. And then they raised his hand and said, and knew. I was like, what? How in the blue moon did he win? So I did a little research on this. So Pacquiao was on the last fight of his promoters, and they have been trying to work out a deal, and the promoter wanted to sign him to a new contract. And Pacquiao said no. And the underground of boxing, if you say no to an extension of your promoter and that promoter doesn't have you locked up for the next fight or
It's how boxing's worked since the get.
Yeah, the fix is in and you're going to lose. And that's how Pacquiao lost like three fights ago when his contract with the same promoter was up. He loses the fight and then he re-signs with the guy. And I had no idea that even existed until after this.
This has been happening
thing.
Since the 50s in boxing.
Well, I knew the fixes were
you
in.
You ever see Pulp Fiction?
No. Yeah, I knew that. And Don King. Like, I knew how shady it was. But to have it be that clear, that simple of shadiness, that's the promoter being like, boom,
boxing
boom, boom.
Promoters don't give a fuck,
no,
dude.
No, they don't, man. And this is like
because they know
this is like the
that
number
we
one
know
promoter.
That the fix is in.
Yeah, exactly. And it got everybody to talk about it. So I thought that was kind of cool. Oh, and side note, Margot didn't bet the freaking fight. She's like, oh, yeah, I lost service. I totally forgot I was at a wedding. I was like, dude, you would have made some bank. Plus 450, put $100 down.
So explain to me, because I was watching the UFC last night.
Yeah.
And one of the fights.
Travesty.
Well, I only watch the prelims. I don't pay for the bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So don't tell me what happened, because I'm going to find it online later.
Well, you heard what happened with Nunes, right? She pulled
out.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Dude, she legitimately has like a viral infection.
No, that's literally 2 hours ago when I was writing up the show. Homeboy, what's his name? Runs his
Dana White.
Dana White went in an interview, said it's 90% mental, 10% health. I'm never putting that title on I'm never putting that division and belt on as the main card fight. She jerked us around, but
really?
I like totally just trashed her.
Because
like,
Rogan said
ago.
On TV last night that she was in the hospital with a viral infection during the prelims.
He literally said 90% mental, 10% physical.
It doesn't shock me.
Yeah, that she was just not wanting to do the fight and not ready for the fight, and so that's why she backed out on the day of.
Lovely. Okay, here's the real question. Okay. So there was a fight on the prelims where one guy was the minus 800.
Uh-huh.
and the underdog was plus 500.
Yep.
Explain how if I put $100 down,
yep,
what I would win in either situation.
So anytime somebody's minus, that means they're the favorite. So yep. In order for you to win $100, you have to put $800 down, okay? And plus means that they're underdogs. So you put $100, you would win $500 if he was plus $500. So when this Hunt guy was plus $450, she puts $100 down, you win $450. So that's why when you get those minus $800s, most people and like the big sharks, they will bet the underdog because it's like, okay, it's just $100 and the payout's bigger. Especially in a fight, you just get knocked out with one punch. That's a lot to risk. 800 to put down 100. So, yeah. Like Conor McGregor, to put that, that's crazy difference too on the prelims. Because McGregor versus Mayweather, and it's not even, it's just a straight boxing fight. And he's plus, well, it started out plus 1300, but then everybody was betting it.
Yeah.
So now it's down to like plus 450, 500. And that's a dude fighting probably the greatest boxer of our time. As far as pound for pound. But, yeah, that's a, anytime it's minus, it's a favorite. And then the 800 just means you have to lay eight to win one. You have to lay one to win whatever the positive number is.
Got you.
Can
we pause for a
second?
Yeah,
you got to take a pee.
All right. There we go. Hey, all we're right. Back.
Hey. So here's something else that I thought was insanity. So, in a whopping deal, George Clooney and Randy Gerber, who is, Mr. Cindy Crawford, and this guy named Mike Medlin.
Didn't George Clooney at one point date Cindy Crawford?
I don't think so. No, I think they were just friends. They are selling their premium tequila brand. Is it Casamigos or Casamigos?
Your guess
you don't
is
know?
As good as
I didn't
mine,
know.
Man. I got
working
kicked out
in a
of
bar.
Spanish in 10th grade.
I didn't know if working in a bar, you know, but it's Casamigos to a British beverage company, Diageo. The price, $1 billion. They started this 4 years ago. $1 billion. They're saying that it is $700 million up front with the potential for another $300 million for tequila if they can reportedly develop by trial and error in search of one that is hangover free. So if they can create a tequila that's hangover free, it's an additional $300 million. Not sure
you
how
you
can do that.
You have to remove all the sugar, and I don't think you can.
Not only that, but it's like it really all depends on the person, how much you're drinking.
Yeah.
You know, the size of the person. What are you mixing with? You can't just say hangover free tequila.
Yeah, just alcohol doesn't cause the hangover. It's the sugar.
Yeah.
The sugar causes the hangover.
He said that that they're still a part of it. The other thing that I thought was interesting is that Howard Stern recently had Ashton Kutcher on, and he made a fortune as a seed investor in Uber and Airbnb.
Yeah. Well, this all kind of mimics the storyline in Entourage where Mark Cuban teamed up with Turtle.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and then he became like this super millionaire and had a nicer house than E and everybody else. Yeah, that's true. No, it's just kind of crazy.
He banged Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, he got his ass kicked and then he banged her. Well, they just went on a date.
He fucked her.
In real life?
No.
No. You know who he was dating in real life?
Meadow Soprano, who is a hot piece of ass.
Dude, props to the turt man. He is awesome.
Remember that show Cat House on HBO that had the girl that kind of looked like Meadow Soprano?
And then she like had the Reno.
Yeah. Bunny House.
Yeah. No, I don't remember a girl looking like her.
Yeah, there was a girl named something Soprano, and she ended up doing porn. It was great.
Really?
It was like watching Meadow Soprano do porn.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to look her up. Her last name in porn is Soprano?
It was on Cat House.
It was on Cat House. All right. That'll be easy to find. Lastly, as far as cool news, Jay-Z's new album, 444, dropped. I hated how he dropped it. It was only exclusive with Sprint or Tidal customers. It's now going to other platforms.
Well, he's an investor
Apple
in
Music.
Tidal. What do you expect?
I know, but I just hated it because I'm not any of those. But I guess he's got some beef with Spotify, so that will take a while before it
a
gets
lot of people
there.
Are starting to have beef with Spotify, man.
It sucks, dude. It's the greatest thing ever.
0.001 cent per play.
Yeah,
get
I know,
the fuck out of here.
But if you haven't seen it, the reason I'm bringing this up is if you haven't seen the video for Story of OJ, have you seen this?
No.
It's all animated. You know that song?
Yeah.
All right. So it's all animated. It is phenomenal. Definitely go and Google it. Go on YouTube right now and watch that. It's one of the best music videos I've ever seen. And then he just dropped a new video, which I haven't seen yet, for 444. But really good album. It's like a mature, older guy rap album.
I'm pretty sure
dug it.
I saw like a quick article that 444 got to 1 million views on YouTube faster than any other video on YouTube in history.
Damn. Well, I mean, think about it. It had already gone platinum, and it's literally only, you were only able to get it through Tidal for the first week, yeah. And it already went there. That's insanity. Kind of crazy. Do you think that Jay-Z is the mastermind of business? Like, he is a great business guy. And Beyonce
I think
is
he's
one.
Got. I think he's got a fantastic team behind him.
Fine, team. Do you think this is all, like, an act to sell? Like, the Lemonade, she comes out and says, he cheated on me, screw you, and then he comes out and he apologizes, and everybody wants to hear it because everybody's all up in their life. They're the king and the queen. Do you think it's real and these people are just putting their feelings and their lives into their music, and that's why it's so... such a huge hit with the public.
I think they both made the best out of a shitty situation.
Yeah, it's props to them for not like. And then you see this Rob Kardashian and Black China drama where he's posting. dude, I'm not even gonna give that airtime. But that's like one way how you handle it, and then you have this other way where you make art out of it.
So, dude, I saw this amazing meme. Since we're talking about the Kardashians. That literally traces the Kardashian fame all the way back to the Buffalo Bills missing a touchdown in 1970, thus getting the first draft pick where they took O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
He moved to Buffalo, met Nicole, and everything unfolded from there.
Kills Nicole, he hires Robert Kardashian. Yeah. Robert Kardashian becomes famous because of the trial.
Now, had the Bills just scored that goddamn touchdown, there would be no Kardashians in our life.
Okay, I'm going to be that guy. My buddy sent this to me, and I do group texts with him all the time, and I trash that. And they're like, "What? What's wrong?" I'm like, he didn't meet Nicole in Buffalo. He was done with Buffalo. He met her when he was like with the San Francisco 49ers. And he was back in L.A. She was a waitress at one of the bars that he would frequent with his white rich people. And she was his waitress, and that's how so the meme doesn't make any sense, but it is a funny meme.
Yeah.
Because it's the Buffalo Bills, and you would think that they're jinxed like that. But, dude, famous not only because of Robert Kardashian, but come on, man. They're famous because one fucked Ray J. That's literally the only reason why.
Dude, I'll say it publicly. Like, I think she's hot.
She is. She's gotten better. She was super hot, then she got, like, way too much plastic surgery. Her lips were bigger than her face. And then in the last, I don't know, like 6 months to a year, she's gotten back to whatever she was doing. Props to Kanye, man.
That body?
Props to Kanye. What about Chloe, man? She's kind of stepped up her game. She always looked like a man, but I'm like, all right.
Lop all their heads off, I don't care.
Well, that's what they do to their guys. They're like praying mantises, man. Yeah. As soon as they date one, that person ends up in a loony bin, Kanye, or failed NBA careers, or James Harden dumps Chloe. What happens? Second in MVP voting. Lamar Odom is with her. Almost dies on a Coke binge. B-side, real quick, my choice cut of the week. Very simple. I'm going to talk about it more next week or the week after, have some review. Maybe I'll just do a sideshow if Dixon wants to talk about it, but Glow on Netflix, highly
entertaining. Let me watch it before we get into it, because I haven't had a chance to
awesome. Yet. So Dixon and I watch it, highly, highly entertaining, really well done, from the storyline to the wrestling, to the drama, the comedy. I can't say it enough. Season 2 has already been picked up, so that's really cool. And Dixon, a lot of naked women, and Allison Brie, topless within the first couple minutes of the first episode.
I still don't know who she is.
She's the chick from Community, like one of the brunette on Community. She was in Mad Men. She was in
like the nerdy brunette,
the nerdy white girl. Yeah, she's the lead of Glow.
No kidding.
She's the lead, and you see her naked in a bunch of others. Not saying that's the reason why to watch it. It's really well done show. Mark Maron is in it, but. We'll talk about that more in the next couple of weeks. Definitely check that out. You have one?
Oh yeah, and I'm embarrassed about it, but I'm just gonna put it out there. I know I'm super Mr. Local, and I shouldn't be talking about a national fast food chain, but I will tell you that those Transformer slushes at Sonic.
What are these? I've never even heard of them.
All right, so there's three different varieties, and Sonic is the big, drive-in chain with terrible food, but the most fantastic drinks on the entire planet. So they did three. And I've had two of them so far, and they're color-changing slushes.
Yeah.
So I started with the Megatron, which is a clear slush with grape slush on top, and then the grape kind of seeps into the clear. you got to mix it. Yeah. And then it ends up being like this very light, tolerable, not too sweet grape slush. The Bumblebee is orange with grape on top.
The first one was called Optimus Prime?
No, Megatron.
Megatron. Oh, okay.
The other one is Bumblebee, and that's an orange slush with grape on top.
Which is weird.
And that one, you don't mix. You just
drink.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I haven't had the Optimus Prime yet. That's cherry with lemon on top.
Ooh, that sounds like that would be the best.
I would want it the other way around. I would want the lemon on the bottom and just a little cherry on top.
It?
I don't think so.
What do you do? Mix it? So why is it so good?
I don't know. I think there's crack in there.
Probably.
Dude,
I mean, it's Sonic
you know
the Transformers.
Me. You know me. How often do you see me going to a fast food place?
It's only for a drink.
I've been 3 times in the last 4 days, and I'm going again when we're done here.
What?
Yeah.
It's that good.
They're that good.
Your tolerance for sugar drinks is in a whole other level. Like, is it like insanely sugary? Like, somebody like me who doesn't drink that and I had it, I'd be like,
whoa. First couple of sips, you're going to be blown away. Next few sips, you're going to want to let it sit for a little bit and melt.
Yeah.
And once it starts to melt, the overwhelming sugariness goes away.
Oh, okay. All right. So Transformer, what are they, slushies?
Yeah.
Transformer
color-changing slushies.
I heard they do really good milkshakes there. Never had one.
Me and dairy, dude. But I will tell you, like you personally, get the ocean water.
The ocean water? What's that?
It is a coconut water-based drink that has like a blue tint to it. Not too sweet. Very refreshing. They give it to you on the crushed ice. It lasts forever. Wow. It's only like $2.
Is that Sonic?
Yeah.
I just say ocean water and that's it?
Yeah. Ask for a Route 44 ocean water.
All right.
You get like a giant bucket of deliciousness.
How big is it?
52 ounces, I think.
Gee, what?
Yeah.
It's like a day's worth of, that's like a week's worth of crap drinks for me to drink.
No, ocean water, I think, has only like 15 calories per serving because it's legitimately just coconut water, crushed ice, and food coloring. But it is, there's something about the, because you know how coconut water sometimes texturally is a little.
Yeah, it's a little milky.
I've actually had women.
Thick?
Mention that it has a very similar consistency to semen.
Semen? I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, all the times I've had semen, yeah.
Yeah. but like the crushed ice takes away that weird textural thing because it becomes one with the texture.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I like it.
Because you can
so
have
much.
Some of the ice in it so it's not just. Yeah so it feels.
Not so cummy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. But then it's quite fitting that you would think that drink is perfect for me.
I know you like light, refreshing things
I
as
do
opposed
like
to
that.
Like
that
heavy, sweet. Cloying
all
things.
Right, ocean water. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. So, all right, I know I said in the beginning we were going to get into wrestling. Now it is wrestling. I'm actually excited about this show because there's so much fun stuff in the wrestling world happening. And I don't even mean like matches, but like beefs and New Japan and all that stuff. So when you
text
me.
Let's fire through it.
Let's go through it. So this is my favorite story of the week by far. Did you see the rap battle between the Usos and New Day?
Yeah,
not the rap battle was my favorite part. This story that I'm about to say is my favorite.
I was just disappointed, man. I was expecting it to not be like a weird 90s like poetry slam thing.
So did I. I expected more of like an actual rap battle, but they didn't have any beats, so it's kind of hard. But I was insanely disappointed with Kofi. Big E had one good line, but Xavier Woods and the Usos should have won. I thought they did the better job. Yeah. They actually had some good disses.
Well, you know it's not real, right?
No, I know. Yeah. Actually, but they did write, each guy wrote their own stuff, supposedly. So there's a rap battle between these guys. Well, guess who was pretty pissed off about this?
Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto Del Rio, a.k.a. Alberto El Patron. So for those people who don't know, the Usos took a shot at Xavier Woods during the rap battle and referenced Woods being on in one of the private videos that were leaked involving Alberto's fiance or wife. I don't know what they are.
Well, there were rumors abound all week that they had broken up, too.
Yeah, but then she was sitting ringside
in a mask.
Luchador mask involving Paige. So people who don't know, Paige was is a wrestler with E. She had sex with multiple wrestlers, and on one video she had sex with Xavier Woods and her boyfriend at the time, Brad Maddox. Tommy Maddox was a quarterback. So here's the lyric. So the lyric for the rap battle that El Patron may have an issue with is, let's just keep it PG. You know what's good. Don't get all rated R like your boy Xavier Woods. I thought that was awesome. And they brought it in. Place went crazy. So El Patron posted on Instagram that he will be in San Antonio on Tuesday night at his restaurant. SmackDown Live is also being held in San Antonio that night. El Patron posted the following on Instagram. Tuesday next week, a bunch of pussies will be there in San Antonio. The man with the big nose and no balls, but also the pussy from the rap battle will be there too. Also with no balls, like their boss, all yes men. I'll be in my restaurant starting at 10 p.m. I'll be waiting for you there. Then proceeds to give the address. And after I beat the shit out of you, I'll buy you a drink. Thumbs up, wink emojis, just because I'm a good man.
He's just trying to get people to come to his restaurant after the show.
Yeah, no, that was a nice little plug for his restaurant. See if I, come on. But if you're Xavier Woods, you don't go. El Patron is a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like legit outside the ring. Didn't you say like he's
MMA
like a,
trained?
Yeah. And he seems like he probably has that.
He'll stab you.
What, yeah, didn't he get like in a fight with a drug dealer and stuff?
That
and
was got all stabbed? Made up.
That was all made up?
Yeah.
That drug dealer stabbed him and all that? Wasn't real?
The altercation was real. The story was not.
It was over like.
It kind of came out, yeah.
It was about the whole like prescriptions or for Paige or whatever. Like yeah. They owed money and all that. Yeah, that did come out. I just thought that was crazy that he's calling out people. You think they show up?
No.
A couple big events happened in the last couple of days. AJ Styles wins the U.S. Championship at MSG Live Event House Show over Kevin Owens. Surprise. Cool. Where do you see it going? Why off KO?
I think it gives them an opportunity to push the fact that you should go to these live events.
Yeah, I like it when they do the belt change. It's just surprising that KO has this really cool character. He's the face of America, but he's Canadian and he hates Americans. And then
I think they've got some plans that came to fruition that they just want to kind of change up the KO AJ thing because it's happened so many times for so long.
AJ needs a belt. He needs some kind of belt. He could have a nice run with this like Cena did. It's just like open invitation. I'll take on anyone. Some news. So when I was writing this up, Austin Aries was released by the E.
Requested his release and was granted.
That's what I had. Aries wasn't happy with being in the cruiserweight division, so he asked for his release. According to reports, he was a bad apple backstage. So when I was waiting for you to finish your radio show recording, this came across the wire. And according to our boy Meltzer, it was not him requesting a release. The E released him on their own because he is a huge diva dick backstage. The writers and the producers didn't like him, couldn't deal with him. He always constantly fought. He hated being in the cruiserweight division. So they released him, and he was okay with it. So I guess he's on contract for the next couple of months, and then he'll be a free agent. Yeah, and then he's a free agent.
He's going to Japan.
He'd fit in perfect after I watch New Japan, which we'll get into, which is great. Now he's a free agent.
We can't dive too deep into the New Japan because I've only watched some of it.
Seen it.
Dude, I put in like 93 hours last week.
When you text me last night, what time were we going to do? That's what I was watching.
Yeah.
It was on Access.
I'm going to catch up tonight and tomorrow.
Okay, so all right. So then I guess we'll hold off and talk about it.
I've been avoiding the dirt sheets like the plague because I'm only like... Well, the last weekend's
about the G1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I've only
watched G1.
the 10-man and the 8-man tag. I haven't gotten past that yet. So.
Oh, so much.
Dude. I know.
All right, so watch that. Okay, so we'll hold off and talk about that. But I guess I could see him doing that. But then he's a free agent for our own fantasy because we can't have Mike Bennett. We decided that we have to kick Mike Bennett off, which we'll get into next week. But I guess Aries was definitely not satisfied with the way he was used in the E. Meltzer reports clarify that the displeasure was mutual and there's more to the story than Aries is simply wanting out.
See, so. I think Austin Aries is one of the most talented dudes going.
Yeah, he's got a great look, too.
He's undersized for the E.
Yeah.
But by the same token, man, being featured alongside Neville at the top of the cruiserweight division, man, like... How can you be dissatisfied with that?
I think he was dissatisfied because there was no future with him winning that belt. I think if he had beaten Neville and he was a champ, he probably wouldn't be pissed off. But he had, what, 3 or 4 matches, and he would always lose to him. So he's probably like, what the hell am I doing?
The biggest issue is he has a real hard time working babyface.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's tough to do a heel-heel thing. But, man, like, why don't you just build an alliance between Aries and Neville?
Yeah, or just have the crowd decide who they want to root for. I mean, that's what they're doing with Samoa Joe and Brock right now.
And it's Strowman and Reigns.
Exactly. Just root for whoever you want. So that kind of sucks that he's being released because he was really good on NXT.
I want him to light up Japan, though.
He would, dude. I cannot wait to talk to you about that.
Austin Aries, Cody Rhodes, man. That's something I want to see.
Hell yeah, yeah. Cody was. So here's something that I thought wasn't Jeff freaking Jarrett, man. I've never met a dude.
Don't get me going on this.
Here's the thing, homie. I've never met a dude who can continue to fail upwards and luck out. So this is something that I don't feel like enough people are talking about. But so the TNA promotion got rid of their ridiculous name. Joke, TNA. And so the company that owns them is Anthem Wrestling Exhibitions. They bought Jarrett's indie promotion, Global Force Wrestling. So now TNA is now called Global Force Wrestling, but the TV show will be called Impact. How does a dude not only get his promotion bought from him so he gets that money back, and he was like not even paying his like wrestlers for a bunch of shows, then his name is the new name to move forward?
Mm-hmm.
How does he do this? He must be the greatest swindler.
He's a bullshit artist.
Dude, he must be amazing. Like, how is he not dead?
He's a wrestling snake.
How is he not dead for taking Kurt Angle's wife? Angle was in an interview with Stone Cold, and he was just like, yeah, this shit, I don't want to get into it, but, you know, I had a dark period when, you know, he did. He
should have had his brother kill Jeff Jarrett instead of that random guy.
That's right. I forgot about Angle's brother, man. Yeah. Did he ever get found guilty for that? Is he in prison? But, dude, I just do not know how this guy continues.
Fuck Jeff Jarrett, man.
It's crazy.
He's
to
such
me.
A piece of shit. And truthfully, I watched like 15 to 20 minutes of Impact Thursday night. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's
like WCW.
Shit's not even in HD.
I know.
You know, you got the square in the middle of your in the middle of your TV. I don't want to talk a whole bunch of shit because I'm a fan of like the fat bad guy. But like Congo Kong is just one of the sloppiest fat motherfuckers I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Not really all that good. And then you've got like that short fat guy in the tag team that looks like a mini Yokozuna.
Yeah. And then you have like I feel like
and
it's
then
this...
You, like this Joseph Park abyss shit like should have died 10 years ago.
Well, dude, what about the freaking what's his name? Scotty Matthews wrestling and that whole thing.
Josh Matthews.
Josh Matthews. Wrestling with the whole I know you got that reference, sorry, but Josh Matthews with the whole like
and Jeremy Borash wrestling,
yeah, like they're wrestling and they're
man. Here's the thing is they've got
I heard Slammiversary is pretty good though,
they've got some good young unknown talent that could really take them to at least a Ring of Honor level on a national TV scope, but they use them so improperly.
Absolutely. Well, and that's Jared and his booking piece.
Like, I'll tell you, I think if their contract is up soon, I take the Veterans of War in a heartbeat and bring them to the E. Those two guys are monsters.
Yeah, they are good. Speaking of monsters, just Warzone. New Japan. Just, wow. I mean, I love nowadays with the athleticism, these big dudes like the size of maybe not as big as Yoko, but the size of like Earthquake or whatever, and they're just doing shit that you just don't think a big guy that size could do.
I'll tell you.
Awesome.
I don't think Bad Luck Fale is that good.
He was the most boring on both nights.
Yeah.
He just stands there. I mean, he's a beast, but he just stands there.
He's not well trained.
He does nothing other than I bounce off of you when I try to run into you and give you a shoulder block, and then two guys got to kick him to get him down, and then he rolls out of the ring.
Yeah, and
that's it.
His go-to move is that sidewalk slam, and it's annoying.
Yeah, but are they his cousins or
there's no real blood there, dude.
Oh, no, but what is it? Tama Tonga
and
their match with Warzone. Just, I cannot wait to talk about that with you. So, yeah, I don't understand how it gets. Oh, but I will say this about Slammiversary. So, I didn't, obviously, I'm not spending my time watching all of that, but I did watch one match. Just for people who don't know, El Patron beat Bobby Lashley, And there's rumors out there that Bobby Lashley's kind of getting forced out of wrestling because Bellator is just like, you're under contract with us.
It's his team, not the Bellator
his
people.
Team, yeah. So
American top team.
Yes, yes. So El Patron, here's the other Jeff Jarrett thing. The unification match for Impact Wrestling World Champion and the Global Force Wrestling Global Championship. I mean, he even got his own freaking belt on there to unify. Like, nobody even knows what that belt was.
Right.
How does he do this? Like, when you are sitting in the same room and you're with all those writers and we know who they are, you've been in contact with someone, like, how do they, like, take this bullshit?
It's the old boys club, man.
It's crazy to me. But the highlight of TNA, he's not even on their roster. So do you see this match? You can see it on YouTube. D'Angelo Williams, the running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dude, that dude was legit. He could easily be a wrestler if he wanted to right now, retire.
He straight up said that that was his first and his last match.
I wonder why, man. He took some nasty-ass bumps. If I'm an NFL team, I'm like, what do you do? But he looked good. It wasn't like the Lawrence Taylor.
Or Gronk.
Exactly. Like, I was super impressed with D'Angelo Williams. Anybody wants to just see a non-wrestler go in there and do some and hold their own and do some crazy shit, I was very impressed.
He was on my level.
What's that? Yeah, he's on your level. Exactly. Your thought on the Trump wrestling tweet?
Man, whatever. Dude. Let's talk about real wrestling. I don't give a fuck about politics.
No, but I just find it funny that he's... What we thought... I'm going to say this. What we thought would be a detriment to him, whether to get into the office or sustain the office, with his wrestling cheesiness and the background and just all the stupid shit he's done in his past. He's a fucking evil genius, man. He uses that and he to go like fake news. I know somebody else did it on Reddit and he retweeted it and it took off. But like, he is able to take stuff that you think would be a negative on him and turn it into a positive. Yeah. Like, all the sheep just follow that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me. You think Vince and Linda are just sitting there and be like, ha, 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 ha. Or do you think that they hate that?
I think Linda McMahon, not necessarily next election, but two elections from now, is probably going to try and make a run for...
She's failed twice.
I know.
But do you think, though, that they look at that as...
It's publicity for them, of course.
Yeah, so you don't think that they hate it. And they're, you know, Trump's buddies, and she's in his cabinet. So here's an interesting stat. The average of a WWE watcher, the stat came out for all the sports entertainment. What do you think the average age is of a WWE watcher, television watcher?
17.
57 years old.
Ooh.
That's the average. Now you juxtaposition that against the whole, this is the PG era and it's all for the kids. It's all people like us that grew up in the, you know, obviously older, much older than us, but in the 80s and then the Attitude Era are still holding on, but yet they try to go for these kids. Well, 57, average age, that's crazy.
Same token, though, like the kids are the ones that buy the merchandise.
Or is it the parents?
Well, the parents do, but it's you know what I mean? It's like anything else. It's why you run fucking Cocoa Puffs commercials during Saturday morning cartoons. The parents buy it, but the kids want it.
Did you see the segment, the Raw segment with LeVar Ball and his kids?
Fuck him.
Dude.
Fuck his kids. Dropping the N-bomb on national TV that way. I don't give a fuck if you're black or not. It's inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, LaMelo, the youngest one, the one who dropped the naughty words... it was kind of funny though how he said it, like, you know, he just saying it like he would say it, but he's on a microphone and in front of millions of people. Dude, I love LeVar Ball. I think he is hilarious. I don't hate him. He says nothing but positive for his kids. I don't understand why you or people don't like him. He's a wrestler mentality. Sports needs that. It adds. Plus, his son is nothing like him, and his son is legit awesome at basketball. And he's going to be.
But
a
he
superstar.
Wasn't.
No, he was. What are you talking? He was the number 2 pick overall. The Lakers drafted.
No,
him.
Not the kid.
Oh no, he wasn't. But
he plays it off like, you know what I mean.
Oh yeah,
like,
I could beat Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
and
like all that shit. And you take your shirt off and you run around like a retard. Like,
dude, he did the show enough. He did the show enough.
If you're invited onto a show like this, where you don't really have a place, you know what I mean, and you act in that manner, it speaks volumes about your character.
I think he acted just like a wrestler,
but that
in the wrestling
he went
world.
So far off script, dude.
He did when he ran around, and you could tell Vince was like, Ambrose, get out there, play the music to interrupt him. I thought it was funny.
The positive thing that I will say about that segment is I am proud of Mike Mizanin for keeping his shit together.
Yeah.
And playing along to a degree, but you could tell a couple of times where he looked at ringside like, yo, help me here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the Hollywood part of him.
Yeah.
That I think is what's making his character very successful right now is he, in a weird way, I think directs and produces his segments on the fly.
Oh yeah, I think so too.
You know what I mean? Like, I give that dude a lot of credit. He might be one of my, like, not favorite because his wrestling bores me, I'm not going to lie, but he's one of my favorite characters right now, and I love how he handles himself.
Definitely characters. What do you think about his two sidekicks? Do you like those guys as being it, or do you wish it was, like, lesser?
I hate the name, the Miztourage.
Oh, yeah, the Miztourage.
I think they should be the Misfits.
Didn't he? I think he already had that before.
No.
He never did?
No, there was the Misfits in action in WCW.
Okay.
But I think I hate saying this because I think there's potential there, but man, Curtis Axel just kind of sucks. Yeah. Like, your dad was Kurt Hennig. Your dad was Larry Hennig. You have all the fundamental skills, but goddamn it, you are a weird, awkward bastard of, like, Matt Hardy early days proportions where, like, you can tell that kid's got the skill set but can't get out of his head to make it happen.
What do you think is... Okay, so you think he's just in his head? That's the reason what's holding him
but
back?
But, man, Bo Dallas...
I freaking love Bo Dallas.
So do I.
I don't understand why they don't give him more.
I don't get why they don't put him with his fucking brother.
I know. I wonder if that's because Bray and him, like, don't want that. Like, he wants to try to get over on his own.
The rumor mill was that was the plan coming out of the Bo Leave where he was bringing the sign and squashing people.
Yeah.
That there was going to be that thing where they become the dark and the light and then they bond together. And then Bo fucked up and got the drunk airplane bullshit.
That's right, yeah. That's what hindered it?
That's what I've heard.
It sucks. I mean, I like his look, though, now.
I don't like that they put him in suits.
The suits. Well, I meant his facial hair and his hair.
And then the one black glove, like his grandfather.
Yeah. Oh, is that what the reference is?
Blackjack Mulligan.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that. I totally forgot he used to wear just... That's right. I mean, I knew that it was his grandfather, but I forgot that that's what he used to wear. I think it's cool. I like... Dude, the unsung hero is Maryse, man. She is so good at, like...
I just don't ever want to see her wrestle.
I don't care about
She's a terrible wrestler.
Wrestling, I mean, she didn't even wrestle at Mania. I mean, she just went in there, got pinned, and that was it. But her facial expressions and her acting when LeVar Ball was running around her, you could tell that was legit, like, oh my gosh, what's he going to do?
Don't let this guy touch me, Mike.
What are you doing? And then the way she interacts with him, like, he goes in for a kiss and she turns her face. Like, she's just really, really good.
I just don't find her attractive.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't when she used to be on. She came back. I'm like, and maybe it's just because of who else is on the roster, but she's pretty fine, man.
She's no Alexa Bliss.
She's pretty fine. No. And that's somebody who I did not like who has catapulted
that
up.
Ass.
Every week she gets more and more beautiful. So we'll get into the New Japan. I have my thoughts. It's freaking bloody fantastic. Can't wait for Dixon to watch it, and we'll talk about it next week. Two more stories. Mauro Ranallo. Reportedly signed a 2-year deal with the E, which is awesome.
And he's where he should be.
Yes. Under his new deal, he'll be a commentator for NXT. He'll be working directly with NXT producers Triple H and Michael Cole rather than the usual E producers and Vince McMahon. H and Cole are reportedly two of the members who pushed management to get Ranallo for SmackDown in 16. Switching from SmackDown to NXT lightens Ranallo's schedule from 75 to 80 dates per year down to 18 to 20, which is awesome about this, too, is that his new contract is non-exclusive and allows him to still work outside projects like Bellator and Showtime Boxing. So that's really cool that they brought him back and that he was able to say, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to come back. And like you said, it's perfect. It elevates NXT's brand because he can sell people really well.
And it also lends a sense of credibility to the product.
Yep, absolutely. Who's doing it with him? I hope it's Niles all the time. I know Niles only did the British stuff, but...
I think it might be Nigel McGuinness.
Or Nigel. Niles. Nigel, yeah. He's and then, awesome.
I mean, I'll tell you the other dude that I think is underrated as a commentator is William Regal.
Regal's great, but he's the GM.
I know.
And he's good at that, too.
I do like the occasions where he does sit at the table during certain
Yeah, like during the
storylines and whatnot. Where he and those are my favorite.
Well, here's something. Here's my hot take. I much like what you just said about Miz. That's how I feel about Regal. I never was into his wrestling.
Oh, I love him as a wrestler.
And I know I'm not saying that I'm right. Just me. I always find his stuff kind of boring. But
then how do you love the British stuff so much?
I don't.
Because all they're doing is a high flying version of what he did in some aspects.
Absolutely. And I think maybe it's like if he was now, I would. But going against what I was growing up on was so different and kind of slower.
Man, his WCW days when he had the TV title.
And I only know him from the E. I didn't watch him. But
he was spectacular.
He's so good on the mic. He's so good acting. He's whatever role, whether it was a GM of one of the big brands.
That's a dude that I genuinely, there's two guys that never won a world title, like a legit world title. Him and Rick Rude that I think
Rick Rude
really deserved it.
Mr. Perfect. Kurt Hennig should have.
He had the AWA championship, so he actually had a world title.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah. And Snuka had that one.
Never won a world title.
I thought he did in like the old ECW that became ECW.
It was before it was credited as a world title. I mean, they called it the world title, but it wasn't
right. So, yeah, that's another one. Yeah. But when Regal comes on screen, much like Miz, I instantly want to hear what they have to say or what they're going to do because I know it's going to be
legit.
He's
fantastic.
So before we get into picking the predictions for the pay-per-view tonight, Tammy Stitch is in the news, a.k.a. Sonny.
Sitch. Fuck you, Sonny.
So I'm
glad you fell down.
I'm going to read this. So Tammy Sonny Sitch was reportedly taken to the hospital twice over the last week. She was hospitalized last week and again yesterday. This was yesterday beating July 1st. Last Sunday, the former WCW, ECW valet wrote on Twitter that she's having a horrible fucking day. On her Facebook page, she wrote about dating problems and an encounter with a fan while enjoying a pre-workout sandwich. Why is it that when I meet a normal guy and we're getting along great, he disappears all of a sudden with no warning? He must find out what I do for a living, and that's so judgmental and sucky. Fuck you then. I don't need you. Then she goes on to write, so just now, on my way to the gym, I stopped for a sandwich because I'm starving. Some guy who recognized me took it upon himself to sit down at my table, start talking to me, and long story short, offered me money for sex. When will you assholes realize I'm not a fucking escort or hooker? Fuck you all. Sitch, who is currently offers private Skype shows to her followers for a fee, then posted photos from the hospital on Monday, that I guess she was in the hospital on the 26th, that she asked her Facebook friends if one of them would come check her out. So she's asking like just some person on social media to come check her out of the hospital, writing, who is near Stony Brook who can come? Sign me out and get me the hell out of here. Now, on Wednesday, she wrote on Facebook that her heart is broken again. And then on Friday wrote, no one cares about me. Then she posted the pictures, bruised all up. Then she pitched, like, she's in a neck brace. See that ass? And then, like, looks like she got beat, man. I don't know. You said she passed out and fell.
Yeah.
That's what she wrote. Update, she said that, I'm not going to give you guys any information of my condition or what's going on with me. Anytime I post a picture, the media and the blogs run with it. So I'm not going to show you a picture of me being of my bloody head or blah, 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 blah. Then like 2 hours later, posted a picture of her in a neck brace and saying like how she's a tough broad.
Yeah. Attention whore.
Still here. Still have the blood in my hair. They won't let me shower because I'm pretty rocked and not steady. What did she pass out on?
Drugs.
By the way, who eats a sandwich before they go work out? If I'm going to work out, the last thing I'm doing is putting a big old heavy sandwich in my tummy. You eat that after, man. Don't eat something heavy like that. I don't think she was going to the gym, Dixon.
Probably not.
She's probably going to some.
Here's a little plan for you, Tammy. Here's how you fix your life.
Yes.
All right. When you get out of the hospital finally, make your way to any retail establishment. Like a grocery store or a drugstore, pharmacy, even maybe a Target or a Walmart. And then you go to the aisle marked cleaning supplies, yourself up a nice bottle of bleach.
Pour
the bleach into a glass.
No.
And chug that sumbitch down.
No, do not do that, Sonny, because she could do that. Don't do that. You don't want that on the conscience. Now, if you said take that bleach and rub it around on your vajayjay because it might have some germs and stuff from being an escort, then okay.
Drink bleach, bitch.
No, dude, you can't do that. What happens if you find out 2 days from now she drinks bleach? You don't care. You're the purge guy.
Yeah. I mean, I accidentally killed fucking Frazier.
Yeah, you did too. Oh, God. All right, so Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view is this evening. It actually is a pretty good card. I'm excited to see
the
direction.
I think this is going to be the most underrated card with the worst fucking pay-per-view name ever.
Oh, absolutely. This is easily one of the... This is probably the most anticipated non-main four pay-per-view that I've wanted to see. And I agree with you. Worst name ever. And I'm so afraid that it's going to be the worst booking ever.
I don't think so.
All right, so let's go with it. So we got Neville versus Akira Tozawa with Titus O'Neil in his corner. Who you got in this match?
Neville. They're not taking that belt off him for a while.
Yeah, he's so good with it too.
Yeah.
Let's go with, we're just going to go in the order of what's here. Brock Lesnar versus Joe. This one,
I think it ends without a clear victor. I think
it's a three-way at SummerSlam. I think they love how Joe's working. I think they keep Joe in this main title picture.
No, because the plan right now is for Strowman.
Exactly.
And
I think
Lesnar.
It's going to be Strowman versus Dre.
Strowman's terrible in multi-man matches, and I think they need... Because Strowman's going over Roman tonight.
You think?
Yeah.
Clean?
Ambulance match, yeah. Because, dude, here's the thing is, like, you don't look weak losing one of those gimmick matches. You know what I mean? Like, you just get stuffed in an ambulance and it drives away. You didn't get pinned. You don't lose anything from that.
So then you think that, and then Roman has to work his way back up to be the number one contender. Because if he wins this, then it's like, okay, you got to wrestle Brock at SummerSlam, but they want to hold that off to Mania.
I think Roman Strowman kicks the show off.
Really?
Or is earlier in the card, and then Strowman somehow gets involved to ruin the Joe Lesnar match.
See, that's what I think that there will be something. That's why I think Lesnar and Joe will have a funky finish. Or
see, I think they go to a place where, I don't know, like, my mind says Strowman gets involved, costs Lesnar the title, and then they do a title-free Strowman-Lesnar match at SummerSlam, put the title on Joe.
Ooh. And then who's Joe's opponent? It's got to be Brock because he's got that. He's got
no, because Strowman's
clause
with Lesnar at SummerSlam because Strowman costs Lesnar the title. And then you do Joe and Seth or Joe and Finn, or you know what I mean? And then because you have until Mania to get that title back on Lesnar for the Lesnar Roman debacle that's going to happen at WrestleMania.
I hope
Joe, and
you got to put
the Universal title on somebody that's going to be on TV more than fucking six times in 3 months.
I agree with you. I do. I just feel like Joe has gotten the upper hand in every single
meeting.
Which
means he's going to lose.
Exactly. So it means that they're going to make Brock, unless they're doing the whole like Goldberg thing with Brock, and then you finally get Brock to win the very last one.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I don't like the writing for this. I like the fact that they're
Joe's
interacting.
Crushing it, though.
He's doing great. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
He's
like
a scary mofo, man. He scares me more than Brock. By the way, is there so, what's the word I'm looking for? Something that is so underappreciated by about Brock. Homeboy sells like no other, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
The way he, like, his acting, like, that Kakina clutch, and then his, how face is red, or how red his face got and stuff.
Well, you do realize that Joe had him, like, legit.
He had him,
had
but,
him.
I mean, you could also tell when Lesnar
the thing you got to understand
is
that Lesnar was always susceptible to that rear naked. So when Joe had it, and you put shoulder pressure on the carotid artery.
Yeah.
You could tell that there was a point where Lesnar was legitimately losing blood to the brain.
Well, that's, and then he
and
moves
he re-
his neck.
And he
yeah.
reached up and like
yeah.
looked at Heyman
yeah,
and
that.
Put his hand. There's signals, and I'm not going to give them away because I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But there's a signal of where you go up and touch to let the fucking hold go.
Yeah,
and he made eye contact with Heyman and did
the
signal, and you saw Joe adjust. And take the pressure off.
And not only take the pressure off, he put it almost on his chin. He, like, take it right off, like, that close-up shot up on the ramp. Yeah, I saw that. All right, so who you got, Brock or Joe?
I'm going to go with Brock because I just think the E's lame
at this point. Gosh, I want Joe to win. I think Brock wins, but I have a feeling that it's going to be one of those finishes where I think it's going to be a three-way. We both have...
It's your favorite kind of threesome, right? two dudes and then one other dude.
Yeah, three huge dudes. Yeah, put in Lenny Kravitz and it'd be the perfect foursome. Braun Strowman. God, I don't know about this, man.
Strowman's going over Roman. I'm telling you that right now.
All right, Strowman. I'll go with Strowman. Nah, you know what? I'm going to go with Reigns just because Reigns always wins. Just to go different. I hope Strowman wins. Your girl, Alexa Bliss for Sasha Banks.
She's retaining.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no money in the heel chasing the face.
That's true, but they've been making Alexa kind of feel like a face lately. The way she talked to Nia Jax and the way she's like, she's not as evil as she was on SmackDown.
It's coming, weird. Though. It's coming.
I hope Bliss wins. It's just, she's just more entertaining with the belt.
And she's got that ass.
Here's one that I have no idea.
That ass.
I know, that ass. Speaking of asses, Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins. How can you have Bray Wyatt continuously lose every single match?
Neither
guy?
Of them can really take a loss right
no,
now.
No, they can't. Because especially if you're saying Seth Rollins is going to have to get catapulted to have
I think Finn would be. But regardless, I just.
Finn's not even on this.
There's not an upside for either one of these guys.
Why is Finn not even on this card? Nothing for him?
He'll work Elias Samson in an unannounced match, guaranteed.
Yeah, so, dude, I mean, I'm going to go with Seth just because.
I think it's
he's
a smash.
I think
it ends with a non-finish, and they continue this terrible fucking convoluted feud.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
How do you think it schmazes? Do you think somebody comes in and for Bray, and he's got a state? Because right now he has nobody on his team.
Right.
You think he does? Like somebody comes in, or do you think it's like a schmaz in the sense of just those two?
Those two.
Just those two. I'll go with. Listen, history tells me. Bray Wyatt always loses big matches on a pay-per-view, whether it's a small card or, you know, one of the mains. So I'm going to go with Rollins. At some point, Bray's got to win. You're saying a schmaz.
Yeah.
So no decision.
Yeah.
All right. Enzo versus Big Cass. I'm interested to see what they do.
Cass.
By the way, Enzo has been phenomenal acting.
If only he could work.
I know. He is so good these last couple of weeks. So good. Yeah, I mean, you got to go with Kaz. Do you think Big Show and Enzo team up? Gets another big guy?
House show stuff? Yeah, yeah. But on TV now.
Miz versus Dean Ambrose. He's got Bo
Miz
Dallas.
Miz needs to retain.
If they put this belt back on Dean Ambrose,
I'll find that motherfucker and stab him. I'm so over Dean Ambrose.
Oh, dude, it's like, and I guess he got one of the biggest pops at MSG live show, too.
I don't understand why.
I think it's all because of the Shield, man. I think like those guys just will get pops no matter what. I think he'd be an awesome heel.
Yeah, I just want him to go away.
Well, I'm not a big fan of his either, but I think if anything...
My wife loves him, and I don't get it. She can't explain it. I just like him. He's crazy. He's not crazy.
He's crazy. He dresses up in funny outfits. By the way, speaking of dressing up... Your boy Tyler Breeze and my boy Fandango are phenomenal as the Fashion Squad.
I hate it.
Dude, I love it.
Here's
so
the thing.
Talented.
I can deal with the vignettes
and
the goofy shit, but stop with the dumb shit in the ring.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I wish they would do the funny stuff and then be legit in the ring.
Right.
But they won't do that because it's Vince wanting to have comedy. It's the same thing he did with Damian Sandow. Sandow could have been legit, but they just let the comedy go until they run him in the ground, and then you cut him.
Yeah.
And it sucks because those two guys are talented. They're really good, like acting-wise.
Johnny Curtis is a dude that I would love to see leave the E and go to Japan.
He would be dude, he has like one of the best looks, moves, bodies. Like, I just don't understand why.
You fuck him, don't you?
No. No, I would like to snuggle with him, but not fuck him. He looks like he'd be too big. No, no, no. I just don't understand why they can't find something for him. Because it's like a Sandow. Everything they give him, he crushes it.
Yeah.
And the crowd is behind him now. Cesaro Sheamus versus the Hardy Boys for the
Iron Man.
30-minute Iron Man.
I think you got to go Cesaro Sheamus.
Yeah, I mean, but what do you do with the Hardys?
They're a nostalgia act.
Supposedly, I hear that they're starting to
nowhere
get that
near
broken.
There, dude.
No.
No. It came out earlier this week that that Anthem is being difficult.
I know Anthem's being difficult, but I heard that they were close to – Matt tweeted that he's close to getting it. And then when he previewed this match, he used like one of his phrases from
the delete
Broken
thing,
Man.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't delete. It was something else, like one of his – I don't know. Type, but
see,
it was that he
how,
was
do you, how do you not just
writing.
Call it deleted instead of broken?
Yeah, exactly. Because you don't have to. It's
Vince,
not what you
if
said.
You use it, I want something.
Yeah, I don't understand.
$100,000. You heard it here first. Fuck broken. Make it deleted. put Jeff over on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And let's rock and roll.
Do you think, though, if you, with the wrestling background you have, you think that if they said deleted Matt Hardy, that Anthem could come back and be like, no, that's the gimmick? It's just the name.
Yeah.
It's literally just over broken.
Which is such a ubiquitous word.
Yeah, I don't understand, because it's everything else you can just do. Yeah. All right, that's it. So that's our Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. I'm excited to watch it. We'll be back next week to talk to Fantasy, like we said.
Hopefully.
And New Japan. You can follow us on Twitter at B-Show Wrestling. Again, on Twitter at B-Show Wrestling. Props to all the people that are that just recently followed us and have been writing me. It's awesome. We're over like 500 people that are and it's like legit people. It's not like those Twitter bots. You can follow us on Facebook and like our page at the B-Show Wrestling Podcast. Email us at the B-Show Wrestling Podcast at gmail.com for story ideas, thoughts, things you want us to talk about. I got no penis pictures. Thank you, listeners. Subscribe, download, review our show, please. If you review our show, we'll give you a little shout out. And we'll
maybe.
No, we definitely will. I will.
Maybe.
And I'll give you a little love and tell people to follow you on Twitter and whatnot. So follow us again at the B-Show Wrestling on Twitter.
Okay.
All right.
I'm gonna backtrack a little bit quick before we go.
Oh yeah, of course.
Tammy, don't drink the bleach.
Thank you.
Don't drink it. Chug it with enthusiasm. Jesus. Please. You can drink it right out of the bottle if you want. You don't have to put it on ice. Attention whore. We'll be back next week. Love you. Bye.
Peace.